Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich in the opening bell at 5, and then my good friend, the great Steve Cochran at 6 a.m. It's my pleasure to welcome back to WGN Doug Cummings, who spent a long time here as a reporter, crime reporter here at WGN. He also has more than 30 years of experience as a deputy sheriff, a security consultant. He's written several books, the latest of which is a helpful guide, a handbook to help you be more aware and to be safer. And it's called Escaping the Ozone, Intuition, Situational Awareness, and Staying Safe. And we welcome back to the show Doug Cummings. Doug, how are you?
Hey, Nick. How you doing? This feels very right for some reason that I'm on the air in the middle of the night on WGN when there's a thunderstorm in progress.
Right, because you were on many. How long were you with WGN, Doug?
3 years, I think. 3-4 years.
And what time frame are we talking about?
That's a good question. Well, actually, it's pretty easy to remember. It was 2000 to 2004.
Okay, 2000 to 2004. Yep. Okay, yep. Good. Well, welcome back, sir.
Hey, thank you.
And I know you've been very busy. I talked to you about a book years ago that you did called Dead or by the Lake.
Yes.
And when did you start writing, Doug?
I started writing probably when I was a kid. I've always been sort of interested in it. And when I was, my earliest recollection of writing anything was probably when I was 8 or 9. But seriously started writing when I was still on the street, when WMAQ was still a news powerhouse.
Right.
And I would write between stories. I'd be out covering something, and I'd have an idea for something, and I'd write it down. And I kept two notebooks going at the same time.
And the fiction books that you've written, they seem to have been inspired by real cases and real stories that you were covering during your time as a reporter, correct, Doug?
The last one was. The first two, not so much, but yes. I mean, I tended to use at least some of the bits of things. You can't not use the experiences that you've had when you write. I mean, everything comes out when you're writing, and
right.
You know, when you're on the stage, you know, a lot of your personality is what you've experienced, and so yeah, I used a lot of the little bits to kind of liven up what I put on the page.
Yeah, there is that old adage: you write what you know, and
yes.
And sometimes that's just instinctual. You know, I mean, it just comes out. There's no question about it. So you were writing in between, and when was your first book published?
2004. I still remember the day of getting the first copy of the book in my hands and having a tear in my eye.
Oh, man. That's really, really great.
Oh, it's a great feeling. Anybody yeah. who's written a book, when you first get that hard copy of it.
Right.
What's really ironic is that the book we're talking about, Escaping the Ozone, is only online. So,
right.
When I look at the manuscript, I get a little teary-eyed. But
yeah. But it is available, and people can get it. Can they get it on your website?
There's a link to it on the website, yes.
Okay, and we have that linked up on our Facebook page, which is very easy to get to, facebook.com/Nick D Show. The timing on this, Doug, to talk about this particular book and what the book is about, is kind of frightening.
It is.
And what's been happening in the world. And we were, you know, Dan got in contact with you guys, were in contact with each other some weeks ago.
We were talking, I think it was after San Bernardino.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's always something right around the corner.
I know.
I mean, we could almost go at any point and have something to link our conversation to, because we're living in that kind of world.
And the amount of violence and shootings and deaths that are happening in this city in particular. Now, Doug, you covered the crime scene here in Chicago for a while here.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything like this? I mean, over the past few years?
No, it's really scary. I mean, when you can be sitting at covering one crime scene and hear the shooting from another, as some of my friends, Ken Herzlich is a television video journalist who is on the street all night, every night, covering stuff, and there are many times where he'll say that he's on the scene for something, and you know, you'll hear the gunshots or the noise from another crime down the street.
Yeah. how. Well, I want to talk about you know, that time that you covered that, and your years as a security consultant and a deputy sheriff, and then how that all comes into this book called "Escaping the Ozone: Intuition, Situational Awareness, and Staying Safe." Doug, hang on, okay? We got a break for the news. You know that.
Certainly.
Okay, hang on a second. There is Doug Cummings, who is the author of the latest book, Escaping the Ozone, and we will talk more about that coming up right here on WGN. But we have to break for the news. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here until 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 a.m. for your morning drive. My guest right now is Doug Cummings, who you used to hear right here on this radio station, WGN. He was a crime reporter here. He spent time as a deputy sheriff. He was a security consultant, and all those 30 years of crime reporting and being a deputy sheriff and a security consultant has fed into writing. And his latest is an ebook that you can get on his website, DougMCummingsAuthor.com. But we have a link on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/NickDShow. It's called Escaping the Ozone: Intuition, Situational Awareness, and Staying Safe. And it's a very timely appearance that Doug is making, considering what's been going on in the world, and especially what happened in Orlando on Sunday morning. Doug, where were you when you heard the news about that?
I think I was probably having breakfast, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Does anything surprise you anymore, Doug? I mean, are there still things? Because I mean, that, you know, the mass shootings in this country are just completely out of control at this point. I mean, obviously we've become numb to it, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, I have. When I was on the street reporting, I used to say that nothing could shock me, and I still say that. I mean, the things that people do to each other are legend, and I think that within maybe the first 3 years of reporting on them, there really aren't that many things that can surprise or shock.
Yeah. And, you know, besides what you experienced, was there ever a time when you just got so numb to it? Did it ever affect you in a way where you're like, I can't do this anymore? Did you ever want to get out of the business?
I did have one instance, if you remember the Marilyn Limack case in Naperville, and for the listeners who might not remember it, it was the case of a mother who was involved in a divorce case with her physician husband, and she poisoned and then strangled, poisoned and smothered her three kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being at the scene of that in Naperville and thinking, this is really about the end. And I think especially what did it for me was looking into the backyard and seeing the kids' toys in the backyard. That was really... Another one was probably the Brown's Chicken case.
Oh, yeah.
Where I broke that story. Actually, I had that story on CNN before anybody had it even locally, because I had been out on another story that night and picked up the scanner traffic along with Mike Beinhart and Dave Lasker, who were my partners, and we were all there for 4 hours into the morning before I think even any of the other media knew anything about it.
How do you get
Yeah, those kinds of stories. I mean, you have multiple victims. In one case, you had children victims,
right.
Always innocent victims, and unfortunately, that's exactly what you had in greater numbers, obviously, down in Orlando. And I can't imagine. I was watching just yesterday the news conference with the doctors and the nurses and the hospital folks who were involved in that, the trauma docs. And I can't imagine being a doctor or a nurse or a medical professional, EMT, in the middle of something like that, because it just never stops. They said there was a wave of 20, and then they had a little bit of a break, and then they had another wave of 20, obviously more than 20, and it just kept coming.
Mm. On a personal level, Doug, how did you get past that stuff? Obviously you never really do, but
no,
how did you get past it enough to do your work?
You just focus on the story. You focus on what's happening in front of you and try to divorce yourself from the the emotion of it. It's hard to do. There was a time when there was a train, one of the commuter trains, smashed into a bus of high school students in Fox River Grove, and I remember there being with the one of the nurses who was in the area, and was trying to save the life of one of the kids on the school bus. And just listening to what she had to say was just heart-wrenching. But these are all things that you have to kind of push aside and, you know, push into a little room in a corner of your mind and slam the door shut and lock it and just go on with what you're doing.
You know, you mentioned people that you worked with, your partners, and then you've also mentioned a lot of the people that you come across, you know, in the years that you were doing crime reporting. There were certain people who were always on that beat.
Yes.
Was there something unspoken amongst you? Was there a bond that was different than anyone else working in an environment like that?
Sure. And when I was a cop, the same thing.
Right.
You see the same things every day. You cover the same kinds of things as a reporter. You talk to the same people. And after a while, it's you know, you have shared experiences, and it's the same, I think, in any business. It certainly was in radio. Some of the wacky things that happen on the other side of the microphone definitely are things that draw you together.
Yeah. To me, though, like, I mean, and obviously the people that I work with here at the station, we all have, and people who I know who have been in the radio business for a very long time, all have similar stories and can identify with it. And sometimes you can speak in shorthand, you know, but there's something, I think, more deep and significant when you're a sheriff or when you're covering crime that I think bonds you guys a little bit closer because of, you know, the trauma that's involved.
Well, you see, and I would say, and it's I think it's most people who've been in the business would say it's sometimes the stupidity. It's the terror that people deal with. It's the sadness, the melancholy that you come across with victims. That's probably the thing that really nailed me the most, was having to talk to victims or their families. I remember having a news director at one point back in many, many years ago who was just so much of a fanatic about getting the victim or the victim family interview. And I finally just said, look, to me, that's cheap. You go out and you ask somebody, how does the murder of your mother make you feel?
Right.
Anybody can do that. I would rather cover other parts of the case. I'd rather find out the legalities of it. I'd like to find out the specifics of what happened, but leave the grieving relative or other victim story to somebody else, because it's just too easy. It's and you intrude on people at their absolute worst moment.
Right.
That's what reporters and what cops do. You deal with things that really, you deal with people on sometimes the worst day of their lives, and that's a very, very painful, and it's a very careful process that you have to use to do that.
Yeah. Did you always want to get into law enforcement or that area, Doug, when you were a kid, when you were younger?
Oh, sure. I think everybody wants to be a policeman when they're growing up, don't they?
I did. Yep, I did.
It's exciting. It's and that's really the reason when you're a kid. It's exciting. It's the sirens, the radios, the wearing the gun and all that. And it's nothing like that, really, when you have been in it for a few years.
Mm-hmm. How did you first get into it?
I was living in Kansas, and a guy I worked with was a deputy sheriff, and I went on a ride along with him, and it just seemed like a lot of fun. He was out there on his own in the middle of the night. At that point, the county that I was in had very few officers, and there were, I think, three or four working the midnight shift in a huge county. And I thought, boy, this is great. You know, this is kind of like the Lone Ranger out here by yourself.
Right.
And after a while, you realize that being out there by yourself is not always an advantage when you have a 6'5 perpetrator who's been drinking all night or high on drugs and
right.
is ready to whip your butt.
Yeah. Was it, you were always liked this time of night, Doug? Were you always a night owl?
Oh, sure, up until probably the last couple of years, when anytime somebody called me in the middle of the night, I cursed them out because I was probably right in the middle of a great dream. But I think that happens when you get older. You get tired waking up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Sure. But it's fun. I
didn't yell at Dan.
No.
So I'm getting better.
That's good.
But
no.
I do remember one of my partners who I think is probably out there somewhere listening, Dave Lasker. I remember he called me one night. Probably about this time, and I was gone. I had been covering stuff all day the day before.
Right.
Because there were many times where I'd work 24 hours a day. And he called me about a barn fire somewhere up here in the northern suburbs, way up in the northern suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that his ear is quite uncauliflowered from my rantings to him. But I'm sure that he would tell you that was a rather startling response that I had. But
yeah. But, you know, I guess people just, Doug, I guess because of, you know, so many years in that world, I guess people just assume that you're still up at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like Dan assumed that I was awake when he called. Which I suppose if he wants to believe that, he certainly can.
Well, let me tell you something. You sound really, you sound like you're wide awake, Doug.
Yes, I am. We never sleep over here.
That's right. Okay. Doug, hang on, okay? When we come back, I want to talk all about escaping the ozone and some really timely suggestions on how to keep people safe, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hang on a second. Doug Cummings is with us, and I'm happy he's here. I haven't heard him. I haven't heard his voice in a long time. It's good to hear his voice again. Former crime reporter here at WGN. He was a deputy sheriff, a security consultant, and he is the author of Escaping the Ozone. And in these dangerous and scary times, this book can be a big help. And we'll tell you how you can get it, and we'll tell you all about it right after we break here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5. Very happy to have Doug Cummings with us, WGN crime reporter here, and is an author. And we are here to talk about his latest book, which is called Escaping the Ozone, Intuition, Situational Awareness, and Staying Safe. Doug, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tell everybody why you wrote this book and just in essence what it's about.
It had been percolating around in my head for a year or a couple of years because I remember a story about that long ago about two young ladies who left a nightclub about this time in the morning and were set upon by thugs, one thug in particular, and beaten so severely that one of them still has brain damage. She was an Irish gal, and it was just a very tragic story as all victimization by criminal perpetrators is. And it stuck in my head just because of how vicious it was, how out of the blue it was, how innocent the victims were just coming home from a night basically spent with their friends. And I unfortunately covered, as we talked about, a number of stories like that, many stories like that. And it just occurred to me that I had some expertise that a lot of people didn't, which is the ability to sometimes recognize trouble before it started and avoid it. I was very good at trying to avoid trouble, especially as a reporter, although I did manage to step in it a few times. But it occurred to me that I had this, you know, insight that I could use, and I put some notes together and talked to some cop friends and found some things that I thought were at least helpful to people that might be able to keep them from running into a bad situation if they would just open their eyes to what was going on around them. One of the things that I found, and especially in talking to people since the book came out, is that a lot of people just don't pay enough attention to what's going on around them.
And that's what you refer to as the ozone, oblivious.
The ozone is the oblivious zone.
Right.
It's a condition white, which is an old scale of self-awareness that was developed by gunfighter and gun teacher Jeff Cooper many years ago. But it's a scale that basically puts you in certain different conditions at different times. And most people are considered to be in condition white. We're walking around with our heads in the clouds, basically. And it's not a very safe way to be, but we have a lot of things going on in our lives, especially people with families you know, tough businesses, and the condition that we're in is pretty much dictated by all of the stuff that's going on, and we don't pay attention to what's immediately going on around us, and that can get us into trouble.
And don't you think that in today's technology, that's only tripled it? I mean, with people on their cell phones and people texting and people with and you mentioned this about jogging, people who wear the earbuds and listen to their to their music.
It's not just jogging, Nick. It's everything. I mean, you see people on trains. You see people at O'Hare wearing their headphones. I saw somebody not too long ago wearing earbuds in a special case when they were swimming.
Oh man!
It just is. It's very common now to find people who are lost in their music or in their. I listen to books, audiobooks mm-hmm. when I'm driving, mm-hmm. and there have been I can't tell you a number of times when I have driven by my exit or cut somebody off in traffic because I'm paying attention to something else, and it's gotten to the point where I really have to limit what I'm listening to, especially when I'm in heavy traffic or in an area that I don't know.
So that's a great piece of advice is maybe cut back a little bit on being, you know, overwhelmed by earbuds and listening to things and being distracted by text. Be aware of what's going on in your surroundings, correct?
Well, yes, and when you cut off one of your vital senses, we only have a couple of them, you know, and when you cut off one of your senses, you're cutting off the input to your intuition. And your intuition, everybody has intuition. It's the sixth sense. It's the hunch. A lot of us just ignore what our sixth sense is telling us. Well, if you don't have all of the inputs necessary to trigger that sixth sense, you're really putting yourself in a bad spot. I can't think of more than probably 100 instances where had I been wearing headphones when I was on the street covering crime, where I might not have been the victim of something myself.
Right.
And so if there's one thing that listeners can take away from what I say, it's to limit when you wear your headphones,
mm-hmm.
Or wear one, but just really make an effort. And there are many ways that you can make an effort to keep an eye on what's going on around you. Listening is one of them, obviously, because the ambient noise level, for example, in a coffee shop will change if there's an argument nearby or if there's something odd going on. You'll notice that the ambient noise level, even if you aren't watching, you know, we've all been in a situation where somebody raises their voice at somebody else. Always a good idea to turn around and take a look because you don't know what's happening. In a club, people will say, "Well, how do you notice in a loud club environment somebody who comes in and starts firing shots if the noise level is such that you know it may drown that out initially?" Well, if you're paying attention, you'll notice a change in the noise level right away, whereas you might not otherwise. One of the other things that inhibits us, particularly in that kind of an environment, and I hate to say it because I know people are going to yell at me, mm-hmm. but is the amount of drinking that one does. One of the things that I use when I give speeches is to say, what do you call a drunk person in a bar or leaving a bar late at night? And that would be prey,
mm-hmm.
because predators love the target-rich environment of a nightclub because they know that there are going to be a certain number of people coming out, male and female both, who've had too much to drink, who are completely unaware of their surroundings, who are completely in the ozone, and will not be able to defend themselves as a result.
You know, you have, like, some tips for being safe, one of them being every time you walk into a new place, immediately identify the exits. I think that's an important one, right, Doug?
Absolutely. That's right next to not wearing headphones.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to know when you walk into a place how to get out. And one of the things that I say about, particularly about nightclubs, but any instance where you're in an unfamiliar place, is not only know where the exits are, but chart your course to get to an exit. Know what furniture is in the way. Know that the exit actually opens. In the city, in most places, there are building codes that say that the emergency exits have to always remain unlocked, but we know that that isn't always the case.
Right.
There's furniture stacked against them. Sometimes the doors stick because they've never been opened, and sometimes they lead into a corridor outside, and the corridor is blocked. I remember one instance where the corridor was blocked by chairs. So it's always a good idea to check that exit if you get a chance, and then sit or stand near it or in a place where you can see the door.
Yeah.
And then think about how you would react if something happened. It doesn't have to be a shooting. I mean, that's fortunately still, if you're out being entertained at night, that's one of the lower risks that you face, even in Chicago. But it could be a fire. It could be just about anything. And you want to know where you are in relation to the exit and how to get out, if there's any cover between you and the exit.
That's great, sound advice. You know, we're running out of time here, Doug, but I did want to mention that, you know, when I was driving, I haven't driven in a long time, I don't drive anymore, but when I was driving, this is always my rule for driving, Doug. As I was driving, I would assume that every other person on the road was an idiot who was about to do something absolutely wrong.
And it's probably true.
You're right, and that's what I'm saying. Nine times out of ten, it's true. If there's a guy in the left lane, expect him to just swerve over and make a right turn from the left lane.
And we call that defensive driving. What I talk about is defensive living.
Right. That's exactly right. And you bring that kind of – now, and I also want to make sure that people realize that, you know, it's not being paranoid, Doug. It's especially in this day and age, especially with what's going on in this city and what just happened in Orlando, it's not being paranoid. It's being smart and
paranoid,
being prepared.
Actually, being paranoid, being fearful all the time is like racing an engine. Eventually, you're going to burn it out.
Right.
You really just have to be cautious and pay attention to what's going on around you. And there are a lot of ways. Read the book, Escaping the Ozone. It's chock full of little pieces of advice that you can use to ramp up your awareness of what's happening around you.
Yeah, so make sure you check it out. It's Escaping the Ozone. We have a link on our Facebook page where you can order it. You should read it and have it nearby, and it'll give you some great advice. Escaping the Ozone, Intuition, Situational Awareness, and Staying Safe. We have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. And again, Doug, you know, you talked about instinct. If I've got a funny feeling about something, I will avoid it. I usually listen to my instinct. Like, if I don't feel right about something, I won't do it, or I won't go there, or I won't go in.
Yes.
And you know, not nine times out of ten, but I mean, that's a pretty good instinct to trust, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the other things that I kind of use as a catchphrase is, if you want to stay out of trouble, don't go where trouble is. Don't assume that you can be safe in an area where you're probably not going to be safe. A lot of people say, you know, I'm in the car. What's going to happen to me? Well, a lot of things can happen to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Doug, really great to hear from you again, man. I miss you on the show.
Thank you, Nick. I miss being there sometimes, but not at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go back in my office and work now.
All right. Now, since Dan got you out of bed.
Yeah, I'm going to go right back to work where I was when he called.
That's right. Doug, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. There you go. Doug Cummings, everybody. The book is called Escaping the Ozone, Intuition, Situational Awareness, and Staying Safe. Very helpful book, especially in these days. All right, so go to our Facebook page now and check it out, facebook.com/NickDShow. The news is coming up next.